First case on calendar 98-02, 98-130, State of Ohio versus Tiana Rant. Ms. Marcellotti.
Going to be subject to no greater punishment than what merely my agency done. Is that really, I mean, I'm just that example, even under the Blackburger test, you're looking for the second step is the separate animus. Wouldn't that, I mean, I'm not sure that you would stop with the elements.
The Blackburger test says the separate statutory to require proof of an element.
Yeah, but in your example, there would be, I mean, you would assume, we could assume that a court could nevertheless sentence for both, given the...
is then we get to the elements test. Do you have any easy way or different way around the elements test? I mean, why don't we just sometimes say if it's a separate animus or like aspartation in rape and kidnapping, we have clear lines for that. Every time we get into one of these separate elements things, we write something else that confuses it more, in my judgment. And is there any way around just abandoning the elements test?
Well, I suppose you could do that, but I'm not sure that that's really wise. Because I think when you look at the same elements test, it's helpful to determine whether improving one of them, you're also improving the elements of the lesser test.
Yeah, but they get so close in those elements sometimes.
Sometimes in certain situations. I don't think it's close in this case.
Well, where did the Court of Appeals go wrong then on the elements test?
Well, they forgot a number of things, and if I may answer that question, it would help a little bit. Involuntary manslaughter requires proof of, one, the defendant caused the death or not. Two, the proximate result of committing or attempting to commit a felony. Aggravated robbery, on the other hand, requires proof of the defendant committing or attempting to commit a felony before obtaining after committing or attempting to commit a felony. That is, whether a dangerous person, common of the person, or under his control, or that he inflicted or attempted to inflict serious physical harm. Now, what's been here to tell us? Well, it tells me about five things. One, involuntary manslaughter requires a death. Aggravated robbery does not. It doesn't necessarily require harm. Two, aggravated robbery requires a death sentence. Involuntary manslaughter does not. Three, possession of and
basis for the punishment here?
The basis for the punishment here is, and you had three people involved in this incident here. And while one is collecting robbing,
what's the basis for here in this defendant's punishment? What's the basis for this defendant's punishment?
He was punished for both involuntary manslaughter, which he pledged to.
I understand, but what faction did he do?
He was gathering up the material while the other two patrons were eating the victim.
So he wasn't carrying the weapon?
There is not in the plea transcript. He entered a plea of guilty in the plea transcript. What he basically said was, I was gathering up the thing. I know I can take it. It was beating this person to death. I did nothing to stop it. I knew it was wrong.
So that's what triggered the aggravated robbery?
It was an aggravated robbery. He pled guilty to both of us.
So the Court of Appeals statement, accordingly, based on the rationale of Dixon, Lugai, and Demuth, involuntary manslaughter necessarily encompasses all the elements of aggravated robbery is just plain wrong.
I agree this is plain wrong. And the reason it's just plain wrong is that you're telling me the involuntary manslaughter that is not intended to incorporate every single element of the underlying felony. All you have to do is prove the existence of a felony in the end of the felony. So you assess the sentence. No.
Thank you.
plan is simple. The committee comments says, look, aggravated murder and aggravated robbery are two different crimes. Both, of course, they are. And nobody suggests otherwise. And one reason for the difference, one reason why they are two different crimes, we don't have that here, is that the aggravated murder statute does not have the encompassing language involuntary manslaughter statute. We just don't have that kind of speaking. If we're looking to the manifest intent of the legislature, there is no such manifest intent here to indicate that two separate crimes are necessarily.
Wasn't the intent of the legislature to protect people who are being robbed?
Of course.
All right, well, what you're saying that you, someone who goes in to rob someone might as well kill him because he's not going to get any more punishment if he does.
No, absolutely not. Because if that's the theory, if what you say is I'm going to rob him, and as long as I'm robbing him, I'm going to kill him.
Right.
Then we've got two separate actions. It's the second part of the allied statute that says, no, that's two separate amounts.
Why would they be separate?
I'm sorry?
Exactly, two separate offenses, and this is not two separate offenses.
Because you have to stop it. In order to make this slide satisfy both parties, in order to reduce the two offenses to one, for sentencing purposes, in order to say you can't be sentenced, convicted and sentenced for both of these offenses, you have to satisfy both the same offense. You have to show that these are committed together and live in a single family in order to get both on sentence. And when you have those kinds of circumstances, you're suggesting those. When you have that happen, then we clearly have a separate animal.
Well,
yes, I'm going to kill him so I can. That's a separate animal.
Upholding the Court of Appeals decision in this case certainly will not diminish killing people during a robbery. Will it?
Your Honor,
isn't that the intent of any criminal statute is to protect the citizens of our state from crime?
Yes.
All right. Now, that's the principle behind it. Now, if you allow the Court of Appeals decision to stand, it is saying that you might as well kill him when you go in to rob him because you're really not going to get any more punishment. Is that preventing or protecting the citizens of this community or this state?
If it were the case the Court of Appeals decision provided for one free killing, I would agree with you. I don't believe the Court of Appeals decision does that.
What does it do?
I think the Court of Appeals decision says that when the killing is not separately motivated, when there is no separate animus, when it is but a single thing, then there is no additional punishment. And that seems to be altogether different from I might as well kill him if I can. That's different than your separate animus there, and it makes for the difference that provides the double punishment under those circumstances.
Whereby we compare the elements of one crime with those of another to determine whether one penalty should be given or two penalties can be given. If we were to follow what you're suggesting today, we wouldn't have any tests at all because we would have to look at the intent of the defendant and every case would be considered on its own facts. This is to be an objective test where you compare the elements of aggravated robbery with those of involuntary manslaughter. They're not the same.
We obviously I think that when we look at 29-31-25, when we look at the elements, that is potentially
Saved about 2 minutes of your time.
Case is submitted, you'll be advised of our opinion.